Welcome to the scene. I'm your host, Andrea Kruska, and today I'm joined by Kip Kniep, a silversmith, and his wife, Celine, who helps with design and publicity for Kip. Welcome to the show. Would really love to hear how you got started, how you realized you had this talent.
Well, it goes back to when I was fairly young. My parents are both artistic, and my father was a painter and realized he couldn't make a living as a painter, but he turned his skills into having an advertising agency. And they bought a 18th century mill that was abandoned and single-handedly turned it into a house. So I grew up around all phases of construction, from pulling nails from boards and straightening them to use over again, and plumbing and electrical and sheetrock. And so I was introduced to all of this stuff, as well as I got older, interested in all things mechanical, which was like chainsaw engines on bicycles and lawnmower engines on go-karts. And then it became cars and hot rods. And my father was supportive of all that. And we brought home some old metalworking equipment from scrap metal yards, lathes and milling machines, and got them all working. And this is all metalworking. And it just sort of along the way, I'd start making little things for my mother out of silver and just dabbling in silver throughout my career as a tool and die maker. So I was kind of self-taught at all of that. And I was living in New Jersey, and I was getting tired of the winters and
fair.
Tired of the taxes. And this is the late 70s, and wanted to move south. And we found this place here and sold the business in New Jersey and bought a farm down here and been growing our own food ever since. And animals and kids, and we had to start another business down here, a tool and die business, and we were the hippie machine shop on Mill Creek, and created quite a stir with the local farmers.
I can only imagine.
But so all during this time, I was still dabbling, I was working, doing the metalworking, and always felt that the working in the silver and some in gold was sort of like the highest level of metalworking. And so throughout the years, I kept doing it, and people kept saying, you ought to go to shows, you ought to be selling this stuff. And I was doing just a few things a year, and I felt that my job was so creative, I didn't need to have this pressure of trying to make a different business. So Celine said that when I retired, why don't we just push this and make it more of a business instead of a hobby? And so that's what we did. And we started by doing some shows. A local artist who's nationally known, Steven Spicer, recognized Celine, showed him what I was doing, and he recognized what I was doing and put on a show for me, and it kind of went from there. From there, it went to the people running the Appalachian Craft Center, saw what
the
I was
art
doing,
gallery.
The art gallery at the Appalachian Craft Center saw what I was doing and requested me to show stuff there, which was unusual because normally the Appalachian Craft Center just has people that are either students or teachers from the from the Tennessee Tech. So I've been there for, 10 years, 8 years?
Well, you've been in other galleries, too.
And we've been in other galleries, too. And
everything got shut down, unfortunately. You neglected to tell Andrea that you were had a photography business when you were...
When I was a teenager,
my
father's business required photography work. So in my teenage years, when I was in high school and in college, I did all the commercial photography for his business, which was mostly photographing items that were going to go into catalogs for the companies that he represented, or for news releases. If I take a picture of a man that would be a new vice president or something. And so I had my own dark room at the house, and had an 8x10 studio view camera and a 4x5 Crown Graphic and a 2.25 Rolleiflex that I did all this photography work with. And I did all the processing, and even to the point of making hundreds of contact prints with 4x5 film to send out to the newspapers and magazines and stuff.
So kind of a jack of all trades. We'll be right back on the scene with more with Kip and Celine.
That rare 45 from the 1960s?
The one you wore out on your record player.
Search for the rare at Harper's.
That classic story of intrigue and mystery.
The book you can't put down.
Get a scare.
Or romance in the air.
At Harper's.
The hub for anything and everything creative.
Harper's rare books and collectibles.
If it's rare.
If it's groovy.
If it's one of a kind.
You just might find it at Harper's.
Just down from the depot in Cookeville's historic West Side.
The kind of place that's much less store and much more about the search.
Stroll, look, set a spell.
Hang out, soak in the unique and the rare.
But be warned.
You just may be late getting back to work.
It's new every time you walk through the doors.
Harper's rare books and collectibles. 41 West Broad Street, Cookeville.
A one-of-a-kind book, collectible records, and unique treasures.
The community's hub for all things creative.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Cookeville's historic West Side.
Welcome back to The Scene, and I'm here talking to Kip and Celine Kniep today. Kip and Celine, as a new piece or a new body of work gets started, what's kind of the process for that?
The process starts out with a design, and my wife is great about coming up with designs, and sometimes her designs are not feasible that I can't do. So we work around that, and we come up with some design of something we can do, and then the next step is to determine the materials needed. And I work mostly in silver. I love working in gold, but I can't create bodies of work out of gold. It's just too much money. But with the silver, I will, depending on what I need, dimensional material, I take used silver, which comes from various sources, from scrap that I create to old flatware to the what comes out of X-ray developing film. All this is silver that I melt and I pour
in a crucible,
and I pour it into ingots, and then I have equipment that can turn these ingots into either flat material of whatever thickness I want or wire of whatever diameter I want. So everything that I do is done with the idea of being able to fabricate this by folding, spindling, mutilating, bending, filing, soldering. I don't cast anything, or rarely. So all this stuff is hand fabricated, and it's either very limited production or one of a kind stuff. What I like best of all is doing commission work for people, where my wife and myself and the customer has some vague idea or no idea or a very good idea of what they want, and work with them to come up with what they want. And it becomes very intimate. You're creating something that's wearable art, that this person's the only person that's going to have it. And there's just a tremendous satisfaction from doing that, as opposed to making lots of somethings. You know, in my working career, I never made lots of somethings. I sometimes made multiples of somethings, which I do now with a lot of the items that I have at my shows, or things that I've made before. But once I make any more than 10 of something, I pretty much get tired of doing it, and I'm doing it as good as I'm going to, and it's time to put that aside, unless somebody specifically wants something, and move on to new things. So over the course of the years, I've moved on. I've had a tremendous amount of support from a man named Stan Rodriguez, and Stan got the 501C.
3C.
501c3. Yeah, for Art Round Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
Back probably 20 years
without
ago.
An attorney.
Wow.
He was amazed that he was able to do it without an attorney. But he did.
He's a wonderful artist himself, and in lots of different mediums. And he was a retired wholesale semi-precious gem dealer. Well, he ended up with, when he retired, with a lot of beautiful gems, and he encouraged me, forced me to start incorporating gems in the stuff that I've been making. And it was daunting to begin with, but he kept pushing me, and I kept doing it, and over the years I've developed some, being self-taught about all this and having to figure it out on my own, I'm not tied down to traditional ways of doing stuff throughout this whole process of what I do. I've been around other jewelers that had been to school for it, And they'll say, what are you doing? Why are you doing it like that? But so it suits me. It fits into the way I do things. And so he's been very helpful.
I was going to say the first time I actually heard your name, two of my friends recently got married and commissioned you to do their wedding rings and also
Are you talking about Tori?
No. And I won't shout out their names on the air just in case they don't want that. But you also did one for my male friend's son, who was obviously very involved in the relationship. So getting to see that work was beautiful and amazing, and it's so unique for them.
I know who you're talking about.
We have something else that we can show you a little bit later, Andrea.
Perfect.
But this is another engagement and wedding band set.
Oh, lovely, and I'll make sure I share pictures of that on the social media.
Oh, great.
We'll be right back on the scene with more with Kip and Celine. You're back on the scene, and today I'm talking to Kip and Celine Kniep. I know that this upcoming Friday, August 5th, at CPAC, there's a First Friday event going on, and you'll be showing. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
We are so excited to, to be involved with this, because after this two-year hiatus, I mean, they started, Art Round Tennessee started the First Fridays in 2019, and then, of course, everything got shut down. So it's wonderful that they are starting up again, and I think this is the third one.
Sounds right.
This year, and getting an excellent public response. And this is going to be a marvelous gathering at the Cookeville Performing Arts Center, and they are having live music and refreshments and a cash bar and wonderful, wonderful artists. There's nature photographer Andrea Kruska.
Sounds familiar.
And there is the head of the glass department at the Appalachian Craft Center, Damon McNaught. There's John Lucas, who's a very fine wood worker. And
Sandy Miller.
Sandy Miller, who's a great ceramic artist. Yeah.
So, and for that, I think it's a $5 ticket. So I think that'll be really fun, and I'm really looking forward to it.
And it's from 5 until 8.
Yes. So, and that's August 5th at Cookeville Performing Arts Center. So come out to that.
Across from the post office there on Broad Street.
So you're from New Jersey originally. You've been here quite a while now.
Yeah, 43 years. Grew up in the Appalachian Mountains in New Jersey, in the country, and I had a trout stream behind my house and could walk out of the house with a gun or a fishing rod in any direction, and things all changed up there. This area looks a lot like where I grew up, rolling hills and hardwood forests. And
I'd say one of the really great things about this region, Cookeville and the Upper Cumberland, is we have all that. We have the nature and the beauty, but we also have a very thriving arts community here. And as you've kind of taken on the second career in your life, the second business, what has having this community around helped? How has that helped you?
Well, the people has helped me because, I'd never been around artists that were doing anything to make a living at their art. And I'd like to see the city of Cookeville be a little more supportive in the direction of having some art galleries here in Cookeville. We seem to have trouble. There have been some wonderful art galleries here in Cookeville, but they just don't seem to get the support that they need. I think our artists are just as good as artists anywhere else. But I think that sometimes people think that if they buy the art in New York or in Asheville, that they're getting a better piece of art than what they could get here in Cookeville.
Yeah, we do have just an abundance of amazing artists here. And we are starting to get more galleries. There's the Harper's Upstairs Gallery on the west side. There's the Fiddlehead Gallery at Silver Fern.
Yeah.
Cookeville Art Studio has their gallery, of course. So I think we're seeing a surge.
I have work. I have some work at the Silver Fern actually right now.
Oh, great!
And WCTE, Becky Magura, who's no longer here at WCTE, but Becky Magura wanted to have art in their very small lobby. So we had the lobby gallery, and that was doing just fine. I mean, it's a very small space, but people really enjoyed coming in. And I've got 2 years backlog of artists waiting for things to open up again. I guess I need to talk to Avery and see what she thinks. You know, it's a small space, so.
Celine was the facilitator of that little Wonderful. Art gallery.
Everyone chips in here. That's one of the beautiful things about Cookeville. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you for having
looking
us.
Forward to seeing you at First Friday.
Yeah.
How can people reach out if they want to commission a piece or see your work?
Well, I'm in the phone book, Kip Kniep, in the Putnam County phone book. We don't have a website.
We were in the midst of getting one.
We're at the Appalachian Craft Center, like I said, and we're at the Silver Fern, but you can contact me directly at 528-8131.
Sounds perfect. Thanks again. Have a great day.
Thank you.